Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. I hope my Abracadamits had a good week. Mine was a little weird, up and down, but we made it. I hope you guys survived April Fool's Day. It's one of those days, you know, people like to think, as a magician, it's that day you feel a little pressured, you know? Because everyone's looking at you, waiting on you to do something, just expecting you to do something. And that's the day I don't do anything, you know? I mean, as a matter of fact, I think people should use April Fool's Day as a day to test people out to see what their reactions might be about something you're not sure you want to tell them or not, you know? Yeah, remember that time you let me borrow your car back in 2014? And I said it was pickle juice, that smell? Well, actually, I was doing car tricks for a bunch of fainting goats in your back seat. Yeah, goat urine. April Fools! Or ladies, you could even be like, you're not the father. April Fools! Okay. You ever get up in the middle of the night and you think you might see like a shadowy figure there in the corner of your bedroom? And then you get to looking a little closer and you're like, does he have my underwear? But then you realize it's just that big pile of dirty laundry that's been piling up in your bedroom. That's right, folks. Today's episode is brought to you by Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Yes. Now, if you're anything like me, I hate doing laundry, and yes, dirty laundry can pile up. So don't hesitate to take your laundry to Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services, located at 122 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Bob a call at 865-951-3237. Bob also offers a delivery service for anyone who's a senior citizen or homebound. Guys, doing your laundry has never been easier. All you have to do is take your big old pile of dirty clothes, drop it off, come back, and your clothes will be clean, dry, and folded and ready to go. Bob's Washboard Wash and Fold Services. Check them out today. This episode is also brought to you by The Grove Barbershop. Now, guys, I've been getting my hair cut at The Grove for a long time. And owner and operator, Jeff Hackler, is an awesome barber. And the best part is, all you have to do is just make an appointment. You go online to thegrovebarbershop.com, select your time, select the day, and then show up. You show up, everything is clean, organized, and it's just you and Jeff. He gets your hair cut, gets you looking nice, and gets you out of there in no time. So be sure to check out The Grove Barbershop, located at 98 Randolph Road, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Give Jeff a call if you want to at 865-482-2210 and make your appointment at thegrovebarbershop.com. Okay, guys. Today's episode is it's a fun episode. I think it was a fun conversation I had with today's guest. He is very creative. He's a fantastic actor, and he's a funny actor. He's not just an actor, but he's a funny actor, a naturally funny guy. He's also a great writer and very creative. If you haven't had a chance, you definitely need to check out his show right now on YouTube called Shot for Shot with Tyler Broadway. So if you guys will, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with comedic actor and writer, Tyler Broadway.
Mr. Tyler Broadway, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing, Danny?
Doing good, doing good. I'm excited to have you on the Abracadam Podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you.
Now, I'll tell you what, Tyler, if you don't care, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners?
Absolutely. Hello, viewing or listening audience at home. My name is Tyler Broadway, and I am a local actor, writer. Sometimes I direct, mostly just acting and writing, and I'm with the In Motion Film Group, and I created a show called Shot for Shot with Tyler Broadway.
Now, I think you're kind of also a a comedic actor is how I
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I do focus more on the comedic acting rather than straightforward acting. But I'm trying to get into it too.
Well, I mean, you know, I could probably see you you do serious acting as well. I could probably see. I think you got that in you, right?
Oh yeah, but I love comedy. I think we talked about this before, but laughter is just one of the most beautiful noises you could ever hear in the world, and so.
I love the way you said noises because yeah, it is. It's one of those noises that you like to hear. It's the other day I was in the grocery store and I heard a baby laughing and I was just like, God, that's funny. I want to laugh too. You know? I mean, it's literally when you hear someone laugh, you're like, what? You know? And so it's.
Yeah. Everyone wants in on the joke and you know, it's like, it's universal. Like everyone, I say universal, it's worldwide.
Well, it might be universal. Aliens, bro. You know?
Aliens. Well, I feel like their laughing is different than human laughing. Like, I guess our laughing could be equivalent to, like, flipping them off.
True. You never know. Yeah, they may – I don't know, but, like, with all the reports that I hear, because, you know, I had a UFO guy on, and ever since
–
I had a UFO guy on, and – ever since then, you know, I always I catch myself watching all these like UFO YouTube videos and, you know, I'm really into it. I believe that we've been visited. I do. And I used not to believe that, but
oh, absolutely. Now
I'm convinced something's going on, but in all the reports, they don't speak. It seems like the aliens use like mind reading or telepathy. So, but I wonder if they still laugh. That would be interesting.
They mind laugh.
Mind laugh. And that can't be near as fun, you know?
No.
Imagine how boring a comedy show is for the aliens. You know, one stands on the stage and he tells his joke, but through telepathy, and they all laugh with their mind.
They all laugh internally, so they just kind of nod.
Yeah, they just nod. So the Netflix specials gotta suck, you know. it's gotta be horrible. I don't know, man. What do you think about that? So do you believe in UFOs?
Absolutely. I think it's a bit narcissistic to think that we're the only intelligent life that's out there. So I mean, there's gotta be aliens. There's gotta be.
Now do you think though they've been here though? Do you think they've like
Oh yeah. No, most definitely. They're probably here right now.
Dude, I think they are, man. There's some crap going on that we don't know about. That I never did really believe before, but now Bob Lazar, when I watched the thing with Bob Lazar, that was the thing that really got me thinking, because if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it, because there's no way that guy's lying or making this stuff up.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched that. I have to check out. What is it, Bob Lazar?
Bob Lazar. He used to work out. It wasn't actually Area 51. It was a place like Area 51, and he was hired. Him and another scientist were hired to reverse engineer a flying saucer that they had. And the details of the things that he said, he has told things that have came true, that before he even announced an element that didn't exist that he said did exist, and turned out that it did exist. So I mean, there's a lot of things.
Damn. No, I'm gonna have to check this out. What'd you watch it on, Netflix?
There is a documentary on Netflix right now at the moment, I think, that you can check out. But you can just and also he did a pretty good intense interview on Joe Rogan. So
oh nice, okay.
So yeah, you can find out. It's real interesting. Now, have you ever heard the theory though that and this is something else that might be possible, that aliens and UFOs are just us from the future?
Ooh, that would explain a lot if that's the case. Like, yeah. I feel like someone keeps coming back in time to right their wrongs.
Well, I don't know if they're right in their wrongs or if it's just like screw ups and they're like, holy shit, we didn't mean to get spotted again, you know.
Ah, damn it. All right, we got to go back and fix that. It's just
you gotta, but if they keep having to go back and fix it. And that's the other thing. By the look of what the aliens look like, that's what we're going to evolve to, just like these little, you know, stick little bodies with ginormous eyes and heads. And, you know, we'll have to do shitty Netflix specials. That's what it's coming down to. That's horrible. It's kind of depressing. I don't know. I think I like aliens better than Us from the Future.
I like that everyone gets a Netflix special.
It would all suck, but yeah, everyone gets one. Like pretty much almost like now, but.
Yeah.
It's crazy watching stand-up during COVID when they're doing the filmings, because it's just so, it's kind of almost a little awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the space out, the way people have to be. I can't wait till things get back to normal.
Well, it seems like it's slowly opening back up, I should say, which is good. So I'm just seeing more like stand-up shows, and I'm seeing more shows in general happening, but still like social distance limit. So that's good. I mean, that's good. That's like slowly coming back, at least.
Yeah, it is. Things are slowly opening up. I actually got some show dates booked next month that I'm looking forward to. It's still kind of odd because you're like, man, let's pack it out. When you're like, but be safe.
Yeah.
Now I've got my first shot. Have you gotten your shot yet? Anything?
I haven't yet, but I'm hoping to go sometime this week to go ahead and get my COVID shot. So
definitely do it, man.
I just need to find the right place that's closest to me.
Well, I wasn't really scheduled to get my first one until the 13th, but I was on my way to the pharmacy and I was picking up some medication
mm-hmm.
for my wife, and they had a COVID clinic going, and they were like, hey, you want to get a shot? And I was like, well, I don't have an appointment. They're like, who cares? Get in line. I was like, okay, cool. So that was my first shot. And then I go back on the 8th to get my second, and I'm ready to face the world, baby.
I definitely want to be a part of the solution.
Oh yeah, yeah, you do. Please do. But yeah, that way we can. I think at this rate, if we keep going, I think we'll get back to halfway normalism by late summer. I don't know though. Do you think things will go back to where they were? Do you?
You know, I think that really depends on if we kind of like learn the lesson that kind of happened with COVID and all that, of like, you know, because we found out a lot of things, like how different the world can be, and like we're able to actually work at home and not have to like just like strive for a career and job that will just kill us. But it's also like, I don't know, it's also drove us a little crazy, and I just hope like maybe we can learn from this and like be a little more conscious, and like if you're sick, stay at home, and just like, you know.
But you know, I think there's going to be a happy medium when it comes to the work from home. And, you know, I think there's some professions that will go back to a work in the office kind of environment, but then there will be some that will, I think it'll be a blend. But in some ways also, I think it's screwed some of these people that got these 9-to-5 jobs, and you're like, hey, I want to call in on Wednesday. No, you can work from the bedroom now.
Yeah,
that's gonna suck for them.
Yeah,
I think there's like, but there is some like delivery services, like your Instacarts or your Grubhubs and stuff like that. I think that are just not going away. Just, you know, that kind of thrive during the COVID. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, and I mean it's something I use all the time. So yeah, unfortunately, I mean I kind of hate it, but.
But I mean, hey, it's one of those things that, you know, but you know, maybe, but I, for one though, I can't wait to, see a packed house in front of me. But now I will tell you this, over the weekend, some total stranger, you know, he wanted to shake hands, and he sticks his big sweaty palm out there. And, you know, I have two sides of me. I have, you know, one side where I don't care. I'm like, screw you, dude. I'm not shaking your freaking nasty meat hook. But, you know, it was a situation where, you know, my wife was, you know, having to deal with these people. So I was like, let's just shake this guy's freaking hand. And I just wonder, will there ever be a time? Because when you think about it, seriously, shaking hands is one of the nastiest things you could possibly do. Because you don't know where that total stranger has had his hand 5 minutes prior, you know? And do you think we'll go back to shaking hands and without thinking twice about it?
God, I hope not.
I mean, have you ever – I mean, I try to wash my hands a lot, but just out of, you know, not paying attention. Sometimes I'm picking my ear, my nose, or, you know, what – you just don't – you don't think about it, you know? It's just,
I try to get the one up on people, so I just always kind of constantly put my hand up my butt, so that way, they, I mean, at the very least, if they're giving me something, I'm giving them something back. So
you're fighting fire with fire.
Yeah.
You're like, just in case, here's some butt sweat.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the bow, like the Japanese bow. That's kind of like I think we could bring that.
God, boy, the
American nailed culture.
It. They did. They nailed it. They have the best greeting. They do. They nailed that.
So, now,
I think the Japanese totally nailed it with the bow. Maybe we can start doing the bow. I think that would be cool. But anyways, I tell you what, Tyler. So let's talk about. Well, you know, I had the. I was fortunate enough to meet you during the Knoxville Comedy Film Festival, not last year, but I think the year before last. Was it 2019?
It was 2019, yeah.
And you had the two films. Yeah, you were King Hippo in the Mike Tyson Punch-Out parody. And then you were a serial killer in the other, and you did great on both. Now, were you a fan of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out growing up? Because I know I was.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that was a fun game. And like when Seth Young and Travis Daniels from Southern Creative approached me for that role, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. This, yeah. He's like, it's 30 for 30, but it's with Mike Tyson's lackeys from the game.
I love that, dude, because all those characters in that game, it was a little, you know, it was – you kind of wondered about him. Wow, man, you know, and King Hippo, he's the one where his pants would fall down. You'd have to punch
him. Yeah.
Well, his trunks would fall down. Now, how old are you, Tyler?
I'm 28 years old.
Oh, my God, bro. 28 years old. Now, yeah. So Mike Tyson's punch out, that was kind of like a, I don't know, you're like, what is this old dusty thing? Blowing the smoke.
Cartridge. it was a rediscovery of it, definitely, when I was a kid.
I remember when that first came out. That's how old I am. And I remember how cool it was. And I remember one kid had the cheat that send you straight to Mike Tyson written down on this piece of paper, folded up in his back pocket, you know. And I remember wanting the cheat code to get straight to Mike Tyson from this kid. So I remember stealing it. You know, and because he didn't want to share it with anybody, but I gave it back to him. But anyway, after I got the code.
Oh, but, yeah, you had to like copy it down.
Yeah, dude. You know, like what a punk. But yeah, man. Well, and then what about the other part? Because the other part, you were a serial killer, and literally through the whole film, you just kind of keep this crazy look in your eye, kind of like now. Yeah, but no, tell us about that, man.
So that one was called Wanted Serial Killer. I hope I said that right. Wanted Serial Killer. There we go. And that was directed by Jeremy Lowry and made by him and Chuck Morgan from Twin Ponds Pictures. And that was for the Knoxville Film Festival. They have this thing in their festival called the 7-Day Shootout. They give you 7 days to write, shoot, edit, and submit a 4 to 7 minute short film. And they give you elements and a genre, and you have to like follow them and all this. But they approached me for the role, and I was like, this is perfect. Like, I love the script because it was very just like dry, and it was like very kind of like The Office because it was like a mockumentary.
Oh, yeah. It was just a lot like The Office. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Typically when I like prepare for a role, I try to like talk to the director and see what they're thinking, see what I'm thinking, like throw some bones in there. You got a stew going. So
yeah, a stew. I like that.
You can equate all of this to cooking, I guess. Jeremy was like, watch Kevin Spacey's performance in Seven. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. So I watched a couple of his clips, and I kind of, like, did my take on that because he just does it so well because he's a scummy piece of crap.
Total piece of garbage. Didn't we talk about Kevin Spacey last time, I think, didn't we?
We did.
That creep show has made his name back into the abracadam. But he's a hell of an actor. That's the thing about it with about him is, I mean, he's one of the best actors, and also he's a piece of shit. So those people come and go. But unlike Kevin Spacey, you're not a piece of shit, Tyler Broadway. You are a good actor. So we don't want anything to come out later on that, yeah, it turns out Tyler Broadway was touching possums. Yes.
No, I don't think I've done anything like that. I don't.
Okay. No possible. Good deal, bro. Now, okay, so let me ask you this, man. You're 28, so you're still young. You're a young buck. How have you always wanted to be into acting, and have you always had a sense of humor kind of thing? What was this? When did this is something that you kind of really, you're like, hell, damn, I'm actually doing this stuff?
Well, I don't know. You talk to a lot of comedians. You do stand-up. So I think this is just as true as for all of them when I say that. I think it stems from a place of, like, maybe not necessarily depression, but, like, maybe going through some things or, like, having a tough life or something like that. So, like, humor is always a great coping mechanism for that.
Absolutely. And about,
so I've always kind of had, like, that sense of humor because of that. And I think originally I wanted to do more like play music and be in a band, and you know, I still do that and I still play, but like, I think acting is more of like taking over, and it's something that I can really express myself. And,
you know, I agree with you. You're right there, Tyler. Really, you are. I think, any comic, humorist, anyone, you know, laughing is a coping mechanism that, I mean, I know, you know, you have to be screwed up.
Yeah.
something that you can't come out of a great home growing up and be a comic or an entertainer, I believe. Something has had to, so you got to be screwed up a little bit to do this crap. But the funny thing is, I think we all want to be rock stars, just that the comics, you know, we're just not cool enough to be the rock stars. We're comics. That's like the truth there, you know. But no, you're right, man. You're right. And so you could totally see, you could see your sense of humor. You're one of these guys that you can just take a look at you and be like, okay, I bet this guy's funny. You know what I mean? So let's talk about the shot for shot, okay, show that you've done. It looks like you've got the first season complete.
So we're actually shooting the season finale this Friday. And then after that, we are wrapped for the first season, and we're putting out an episode on March 29th, and it is with local actor Bing Fu. Bing, if you're listening, baby, shout out to you. I hope you like the episode.
Now, okay, so let me ask you this. I I've watched a couple episodes, and it definitely has a. I can't really think of the word I want to look for. It's funny. Okay, don't get me. It is definitely funny, and I laughed. Particularly, I love the sock puppet. I love the just randomness, ridiculousness of that. Just makes me laugh. Where did you come up with this idea? What made you want to do this? Or was this all your idea? Or was this some you know, a group thing?
So I had the – it all kind of starts back to one night where I was hanging out with Joe Elliott and Brian Michaud, us three together, along with some other dudes, make up the film production company And Motion Films. And I told him I wanted to do a travel show where I get hammered drunk with celebrities and we go to like just this shitty dive bar and just like eat nasty food and get hammered drunk. And all it took was for both of them to just be like, well, let's do that. And so from there, just kind of evolved to what it is now, as long as far as like the aesthetic of it, the way that it jumps around, the way that we like kind of like prank the guest a little and like don't really tell them what's going to happen during the show. It's just like, we're going to get drunk and you're going to answer questions, but we pull all kinds of shenanigans on them. And it's quite, it's quite hilarious to me.
maybe that's the thing I really love about the show, because I love pulling pranks on people. That's, you know, I really love that. Okay. So it's one of my favorite things. So maybe that's one thing I really love about the show. But yeah, I like the almost feel of, you're like, what the hell's going on here? This is,
yeah,
this is drunken chaos kind of kind of thing. Now, do you ever get any real interesting conversations with your guests?
We do get some good conversations, and we put some of those in there. Like, for Megan's episode, we went on that Cher kick and just like started talking about Cher for like a good 30 minutes and we cut that down to about 2.
I love Cher. I do.
Oh man, Cher is the... How old is Cher? Well, she's got to be in her 70s, right?
God, she does, dude. She's like one of the still hot old women, you know what I mean? You know?
So she's a guild.
She's a guild, because well, I don't know. Does she have like great great grandkids?
I don't. Oh, surely, surely.
One of her kids did the transition thing. So,
that's right.
Yeah, but that's the only one I know of. I don't know if she has any more.
Hey, Cher is still looking fine. Cher, if you're listening, baby.
Boy, yeah. If you're listening, Cher. I doubt it at all. But anyways. Maybe that's it too. Maybe, you know, I like to think, like, if aliens are listening and Cher, they're listening to "Could You Turn Back Time?" You know, find a way to be an alien. So, I don't know.
But yeah, I think that's a fun part of the show for me, because like I feel like the pranks and bits aren't necessarily mean-spirited. They're more of just to like provide a surreal situation and experience for the guest. I feel like for Jay Kendrick's episode, we did a impromptu song to celebrate his 8 years of comedy, and I didn't realize his reaction would be like overwhelming joy.
Oh yeah, Jay's a sweetheart.
And he just like, it was, I felt bad, but like it was perfect. We had
that's awesome. Yeah, dude, it definitely looks like a fun show. I love it, and it's kind of got its own feel, which is nice, something original these days, which mm-hmm. I always love to see. So this is something though that you just kind of, it's something that you wanted to do, but you shared it with a group of friends and they kind of help make it happen, correct?
Yeah, they essentially like help bring it to life with me, and we've been at it for about 2 years now, so it's been a long time in the making.
That's cool.
But also helped to do kind of like some of the lives at Beard and Brickyard. Uh-huh. We would ask some of the stand-up comedians there questions after their sets or open mic, and it was just good like to network and like get back on it and like out there and crowd work and yeah, all that stuff.
Cool. The Brickyard, they're still doing that open mic, so that's cool. They still got that thing going.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think the last time I did an open mic, it was there. It was at the Brickyard, and it was interesting because I was like, you know, man, I've got some new material that I would really like to get out and, you know, just voice it because I had the show coming up. And I called Beth Tompkins at the time was the one that was booking. I don't know if she still is running that or not. And I was like, Beth, you know, can I hop on, you know, the lineup here? I test some jokes. She's like, yeah, sure. Great. You know? So I get out there and I'm you know, I don't know any of these people or anything. And, you know, Beth's like, well, we got a treat tonight. We got Danny Whitson here, folks. So I'm like, no, you know, this is going to suck. These are new jokes. This is no, you know, it was fun though. I needed to get up there and voice some new jokes. So I'm glad that they still got that thing going, man. Now, do you ever hop up on stage and do any stand up yet? You doing anything like that yet?
No, I haven't done any stand up.
What about improv? You do because I know you're a sketch guy, you're a comedy sketch actor, but have you done any improv?
Well, I haven't done any improv, but like I guess I incorporated a lot into the acting as far as like. You know, like, because you're doing so many takes when you're filming something, like, there's no reason, like, while you want to do it right, you can throw in a little something, like, something the character would do, or, you know, and then sometimes they're like, yeah, do that, let's do another one, you know, like, so it's fun to collaborate in that aspect. So I feel like I could try improv, and
I feel like you'd probably be great at it. I remember the first time I ever did any improv was at the improv festival up in Gatlinburg. And it was me and this older woman. And, you know, I was doing it to kind of sharpen up, to learn some skills, you know, mm-hmm. maybe I could, you know, help me out in my act. And I just remember being up there and them throwing it at me. They were like, okay, both of you guys, you are scientists of a failed invention. And I'm like, okay, holy crap. So, and he's like, you know, the old lady looks at me, she's stirring something, and she's like, what is the name of this again, doctor? You know, and I was like, it's coffee flavored creamer, you know. And I just had to roll with it. But literally that old lady, she seriously like carried me through that whole thing. But we're talking like a room packed full of strangers mm-hmm. on the spot, bam, you roll with it. So, but that was fun and terrifying at the same time. So my hat's off to improv dudes. And I will say this, something I learned about like what you guys do in acting. I had the pleasure of getting to work with Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I did a show with Kevin, and I had wrote a script called it was about a drunk superhero who literally doesn't have any real powers. He's just a, you know, raging alcoholic, but he dresses up like a superhero, and he thinks he has powers. And his name was The Flask. And, you know, instead of The Flash, it was The Flask.
Yeah.
Kevin, he really liked it, and he wanted it in the show, so we did it, and we did a live, you know, sketch show performance. And the thing that I learned about sketch comedy and acting was, like, with stand-up, you know, and magic, you know, it's just you, you know? You're in control. It's your show. It's your baby. You make the rules, you know? Mm-hmm. But in sketch acting, comedy sketch acting, you have to depend on that other person up on stage too. You know, they mm-hmm. have to do their role. They have to do their part. And I remember, you know, doing the Flask bit and the guy I was on stage with, I was like, you know, in my head, I was like, this is how I want you to say it. I hope you say it the right way. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
all that, it's really different. There's teamwork, a lot of teamwork. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You gotta have chemistry with the person you're acting across, and it's really weird because they're going to do something like completely different than what you're imagining when you like write something, how they're going to deliver it, and then they end up doing it their way and you're like, well, that was 10 times better than
And that's cool too, you know, because you're kind of like, you know, that was better than what I had thought.
Yeah. So it's just really nice to have like that back and forth. And like, I don't know. It's like you said, it's teamwork. It's building like a common goal, which is laughter.
Yes. And it's, that was a learning experience for me because I was just kind of like, you know, man, it was totally different. So I don't know, man, I'm a fan of stepping out to different forms of comedy and entertainment and testing the waters and get a little taste, you know, definitely. So you haven't been really probably doing this way too long. Was it 4 years?
3 years. I guess it'd be 4 years this November.
Okay, so which is cool because I mean you're progressively you know steadily moving forward with it, which is a great thing. Who were some inspirations for you?
Oh, Bill Murray is the top inspiration.
Amen. Absolutely.
Bill Murray, Marlon Brando, Jack Nicholson. There's a lot of like non-actor inspirations just for like what I like to do as far as just like creating things too. Cause I do like the editing for Shot for Shot along with Joe Elliott and Brian Michaud and just stuff like that. It's just like a lot of like just mediums that I like to incorporate inspiration from, like Tom Waits or John Lurie, Frank Zappa, just different elements all around.
You know, that's cool. So when you say inspiration, so do you watch some of their stuff, or there's times you've seen some of their work and it's inspired you to go create something yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's made me want to make something that wants to be different. That's like something that is original, something that we haven't seen, you know?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes like there's a few guys out there that I've seen and they inspire me to create. But on the flip side, I almost don't want to watch them because they're so damn good at what they do. It makes me jealous. Mm-hmm. So, and not in like a hater way, but in like a frustrated way that how come I didn't think of that? You know what I mean? So there's a comedy magician who he's not well known in the United States. Only magicians know who he is in the United States, but in Europe and a lot of other places in the world, Rune Klan. And Rune is oh God, dude. He is just out of this world creativity and funny. And it is he is the best comedy magician right now. Is what I would put him at. Unfortunately, you know, him being from Europe, so the United States doesn't know a whole lot about him. But I can't, when I watch Rune and I'm just like, God, how come I didn't think of that? How come I didn't think of that? You know. But he's also, and he inspires me to create, you know, what could I do, you know? And I talk about, you know, people who inspired me that, you know, that are dead now, but are great. Harry Anderson, Tommy Cooper, a lot of those guys. So I know what you mean. It gets you off the couch, or it gets your mind thinking somewhere about what you could create. And speaking of creating, whose idea was it for the sock puppet in the show?
So I believe that was, cause it's usually me, Joe Elliott, Brian Michaud, when Ken Patterson came on, we all kind of like helped write the bits and stuff, but I'm pretty sure that was like my idea of like, hey, we need to like surprise Megan with a sock puppet. So we'll just have him pop out and then kind of like build it off of it. And Joe was like, yeah. And then you stab him. Yeah, and then it's like then we'll have him come back out and you can stab him again when you guys are good and drunk, and ended up actually like whelping that guy's arm pretty hard. So
well, that's what I was thinking when I watched it. I was like, because you know I know ways to make it stab people, make them look like, you know, they're being wounded and bled, and you know I know all the tricks, but I was like, you know, what you know, what are they doing there? Because it looked like he's really going in hard there with that knife. So
well, so it was a fake knife, and then we had like a little blood pack underneath it, so that way when it made contact, it would squirt out the fake blood. Nice. It was either that or like a syringe system.
Cool. Now, whenever, okay, so whenever you're in the group writing, okay, do you guys, what happens whenever someone gives an idea that everyone hates? Well, I mean, do you beat around the bush with it, or do you say this sucks?
Well, luckily, they're very respectful of helping me achieve my vision, so they kind of leave it up to me. So it's up to me to be the one that's like, I don't know about that. Let's try.
That's the universal. This sucks. I don't know about.
I don't know about that. Let's try and like work on something. Like, you know what I mean? I try to be nice about it, but it's one of those things where you have to be. Like, it's not necessarily like maybe the idea is bad, but like the way to execute it isn't feasible, or like there isn't a right way to pull it off. So we need to think, because, you know, budgeting and all that and how to pull it off is hard.
Well, especially like if it's your baby, so you have ideas of how you want things to go. And it's not an insult when someone gives you advice or an idea, hey, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And you don't take it, you know? I've got an idea, you know, how I kind of want to do it. But every now and then, somebody will throw something, add something, and you're just like, dude, that's brilliant. I totally should have thought of that, but I didn't, but thank you, you know? So, yeah.
Yes, that has definitely happened with some of these episodes that, like, they have suggested something, and it's just played off so well. Like, I think I can give some spoilers because it's not that big of a show. A Drunk Spelling Bee, that's what's to come. And there's actually, if you love the puppet bit so much, there's actually going to be a puppet show on a drunk puppet show for one of the episodes. So that will get the viewing audience going.
You guys are getting hammered on this show. So,
yes.
Okay. Has anyone like got way too drunk, like too sick or something to where they couldn't do it anymore?
None of the guests have thrown up this season.
Any crazy stories? What's the craziest, anything happened totally unexpected behind the scenes during the show, anything you can talk about?
Oh, let me think here. So after one of the episodes, I got so drunk that I proceeded to lay down on the couch, and the only way I would get back up is if they played Here Today by the Beach Boys. And once they played it, I arose, I stood up and then fell face first into the bed. And so then they got...
You went Undertaker and then, like, reverse Undertaker.
It was bad, and then proceeded to go outside, and once they gave me some water, I proceeded to spit all of it over one of my friends.
Oh.
He was a trooper.
You got good friends.
Yeah. Or I'm just a bad friend.
Why the Beach Boys, bro? You just a Beach Boy fan?
I do love the Beach Boys, man. Brian Wilson is just like a musical genius. He's definitely an inspiration as well, just like. And I know they get kind of a rap for just not being good. And you know what? A lot of it isn't good. But they have so much that there's some good.
There we go. They've got so much, there's a little bit of good.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. No wrong with the Beach Boys, man. No, that's cool, dude. Well, I tell you what. Let's try this. Here on the Abracadam, we're going to try a magic trick. Okay.
Magic trick.
And this is the only way we can do magic, dude, because they can only hear it, and magic is a visual art form.
Yeah. So
here on the Abracadam, I'm going to try something. Okay. Now, first, let me ask you, do you have access to your Facebook?
I do.
Okay, cool. I'm going to try something. I'm going to write something down right here on the back of this envelope. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to write it down, and I don't even know if I'm spelling this right. There's a fat chance I'm not. Okay. There's a, I probably misspelled it, but it's okay. Do you got a pair of dice, like around the house there, board game dice? Cool, cool. What I want you to do, man, I want you to roll the dice right there on the table. Just roll it right there.
Oh, shit. Hold on. So fell off the table. Oh, same three fell off. Okay. Oh, one just, oh, two fell off. Okay, we're getting there, though. We're getting there. We're getting there. All right.
All right. You've rolled the dice.
I've rolled the dice.
Okay. Now, look at the total that's showing on the dice, the face of the dice, and add that up. Got it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, choose one of those dice, just one, and turn it over completely on the other side. Just one of those dice, turn it completely on the other side.
I've done it.
Okay, now look at that number that's showing you on that dice. You got it? Now the dice that you flipped over completely on the other side, okay, whatever number that is, add that number to your old total.
Got it.
Okay, now open your Facebook.
Open my Facebook. Let's see here. Let's see. I am opening my Facebook. Facebook's open. Where do I need to go to?
There should be two dice. Whatever that total is showing on the table now, that's your new number.
Okay.
And just count that many back up your friends list.
Okay, because I got – can I tell you the number?
No, no, I'd rather you not.
Okay.
Let me know when you got it.
Okay, I am at the friends list after counting.
Okay, and you're on another friend, a whole new friend.
Yes.
Okay, now bring your screen back up. Just remember that friend, get off of it, and bring your screen back up.
Yes.
So you're thinking of one friend, correct?
Yes.
Is this a he or a she?
It's a he.
It's a he. I tell you what. Now, I've got a prediction right here in front of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
If you will, what is the person you're thinking of? Say it out loud.
Aaron, what's his last name? Aaron Tipton.
Aaron Tipton. Okay. Well, I knew I was close. I was really close. But I wrote down before we began.
Wait, how the hell?
I knew there was some. I felt it, Aaron. So there we go.
Damn. No, that was brilliant.
You've been abracadammed.
I've just been abracadammed. Can I say that? Can I say that?
You can say abracad. You've been abracadammed, bro.
I've been abracadammed.
Aaron Tipton.
Oh. Aaron Tipton. I don't even know him.
But if he's listening, check is in the mail from the abracadam. There we go.
Wait, he's getting paid for this?
I tell you what, let's do this. We've got to ask, this is kind of a hell gig story, and then I want to get one more question here before we do get out of here. Now you've done some acting gigs, you have some stuff. Is there anything like ever crazy that's happened on an acting gig that you've done, or something you weren't prepared for? Like maybe you showed up and, you know, forgot your pants, something like that, anything.
Well, I have a tendency of going shirtless for some of these roles and wearing skimpy shorts.
What kind of role are you going out for there, Tyler?
I don't know. I mean, people just think my body is funny. Like you mentioned earlier that like people look at me and they're like, he's funny. It's like, it really helps if you're funny looking too. So
and with all due respect, not saying that Tyler Broadway isn't a good looking, handsome devil, folks. He's just a funny mofo. He's just a funny guy. And also, let's Tyler Broadway, let's clarify, that is your real name.
Yes, yes, that is my God-given name.
Your God-given name. Okay, cool. So, so you showed up to roles just shirtless and skimpy shorts.
Yeah, there was a one particular one that was about a sentient pedometer, like a one of those watches that tracks your how many steps you take, and they called for it to be the meter would come alive and drag the person, you know, to walk, and it was to walk across a busy intersection, and so that's what we actually kind of did. And one of the cars stopped in front of Jeremy, who was it was his short. And gave him money and said, go buy him some clothes, referring to me.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing a crop top of the New York Dolls and some pink, very short pink track shorts. And the headband and all that fun stuff.
So just no shame, no embarrassment. You're like, man, I'm doing this.
No. No real shame or embarrassment. Cause, I mean, there's no point. There's no real reason to. Like, I understand that, like, I'll have them, like, in my personal time. But when I'm in the moment and I'm just, like, focused in, I'm like, fuck it. Let's, well, I need to get naked for this. Okay, I guess people are seeing it.
So, well, let me ask you this, man. Any advice? Because, like I said, man, you said you're 28, so – you know, you're still in your prime, bro. Got it going. Any advice for anyone maybe in their early 20s or something that wants to get into acting and comedic acting and creative writing and stuff like that?
Well, I think the most technical thing would be to just know your lines and hit your marks is what will carry through a lot of it in a moat. But as far as like, just like being a creator and creating things and like, you just have to do it. Like, you just have to like, if that's something you want to do, you just got to work towards it. Cause you're going to suck at first, but you know, you're going to get better as you hone in on your craft and like work on it every day. And just don't get discouraged by the failures. Like, you're going to fail, like just learn from it and be okay with it and be happy with what you make and have fun doing it. Like, cause if you're not having fun, you're in the wrong business. Because it's all about laughter and fun.
I totally agree. And the, I think a lot of people are afraid of rejection and they're afraid to share their ideas because they probably think it's stupid, it's dumb. But any advice on anybody about sharing their creativity?
Don't be afraid to be open to changing your idea, because I know how it can be to be attached to an idea and hold on to it and like refuse to make changes. But sometimes there's some things that just don't translate well or play off well, and you got to be open to changing and adapting, especially when it's such a collaborative business, when you're doing something creative with other people. Like, you got to be open to their suggestions and their criticisms, and you know, and it's really hard to do that, especially when you've just thought about it and worked on it for so long and you've put forth all this effort, and to have someone be like, well, I think this could change and this could be this, but like, you just got to be open to it and roll with the punches and realize that like, we're all putting our time into this. So it's not just my thing. It's everyone's thing that's putting their time into it. The crew, the actors, all that.
So let me, before we get out of here, let's ask this tough question. I think it's a tough question. I really is. I think it's a thought-provoking question. We were talking about time travel and aliens and Cher. So let's talk about the future here before we get out of here, Tyler Broadway. If you could travel to the future and you only had, I don't know, 10 minutes, and you could only ask yourself, the future Tyler Broadway, one question. What would you ask yourself 5 years in the future?
5 years in the future. Did we get that vasectomy yet?
I said this was a thought-provoking question. And this Tyler's like, I want to shoot blanks in 5 years from now.
Did we get the snip? Did we snip?
I want to live life free, buddy. Come on. Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, Tyler, brother, where can the listeners find Shot for Shot, and where can they learn more about Tyler Broadway?
Well, there's the Shot for Shot Facebook page. It's on YouTube. In Motion Film Group is on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Patreon. If you do go to our Patreon and subscribe, from what I understand, it is free. And you could watch the rest of the season that's up right now. And there'll be more episodes posted up there soon. You can watch. You can also keep track on the YouTube. You can follow my personal page on Facebook. And Shot for Shot is pretty much my personal page on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter. And neither are the In Motion Boys.
Gotcha. You know what? I do follow the Instagram, don't I? I can't remember if I do.
Yeah,
if not, I will follow it today. But I know I'll follow you on Facebook, but I will definitely – I need to double check because Instagram and Facebook are the only two I do. I do some crap on TikTok, which, you know. But, yeah, I don't do Twitter either.
It's on TikTok. It's a Shot for Shot on TikTok. And then for the Instagram, it's shot_4_shot. It's Shot for Shot, show for show for the Instagram.
Awesome, brother. Well, hey, man, I look forward to maybe getting on a season of Shot for Shot. I think it'd be fun.
I would love for you. Please, Danny, please, let's get drunk and do magic tricks. We could find more errands.
Hell yeah. All right, brother. Hey, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast.
Oh, Danny, thank you so much for having me. Anytime, brother, anytime.
All right, that does it for that episode of the Abracadam podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed that fun conversation with Tyler Broadway, man. He is a funny dude, and I'm telling you, if you get a chance, be sure to check out his show on YouTube, Shot for Shot with Tyler Broadway. Once again, Abracadamits, thank you for subscribing and following the podcast. Please continue to do so and let all your friends know about the episodes. And like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
Go to your friends list.
Okay.
And go to all your friends on your friends list, which lists all your friends.
Yes.
And count down to on your friends list.